Someone has said that in living, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. It's a cute saying, but I think it's a saying that is absolutely, positively, 100% on the mark of being accurate. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. As we travel down the path of life, there will be things that will distract us from accomplishing our journeys. And that's inevitable. There are things that Satan will do to capture our attention for just a moment or two, and you cannot help but be distracted for a moment or two. The problem is, once those things distract us, they then tend to attract us. We start looking at those things and forget the main thing is the main thing. And we get interested in two things, or three things, or four things, or however many things. And the ultimate priority in life is to keep the main thing the main thing. In our study this morning in Matthew's Gospel in the 6th chapter, Jesus is giving us instruction as to how to keep the main thing the main thing. And I would like you to open your Bibles, please, this morning with me to Matthew chapter 6, and beginning at verse 9, read along with me. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, I'm going to stop there. I have a few more verses to read for our text this morning, but let me stop there for a moment, because if you have been following along in this series of studies, this might seem a little bit disjoint from everything that we've dealt with before. In Matthew chapter 5, in the beginning of what this section is called, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was dealing with those who truly believed in who He was, those who were genuine believers, as compared to those who made an outward profession, but inwardly there was no real faith that was coming from their hearts. And that was the section that we call the Beatitudes. Following that, He started dealing with the hypocrisies, particularly of the Pharisees. Outwardly, they were professing the righteousness that the Mosaic law declared. For example, you have heard that it has been said of old, "Thou shalt not kill." And the Pharisees said, "Yep, we don't do that." But Jesus said to you, inwardly, the issue of the heart is an anger which left unbridled, unresolved, will eventually lead a person to murder. And the Pharisees couldn't care less about anger. You've heard that it's been said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And the Pharisees said, "Yeah, we don't do that." And Jesus says, "But I tell you, if any man looks upon a woman to lust after, he's already committed adultery in his heart." And the Pharisees never taught about the heart issues. So He deals with the standards of righteousness. And then, as we looked at last week, He looked at the activities of righteousness. When you do these acts of righteousness, don't do it as the Pharisees, who do it to be seen of men. Outward show, but inwardly they really couldn't care less about the things. And we dealt with three issues. The first being the giving of alms, the second being the issue of prayer, and then last Sunday night, the issue of fasting. So now we're talking about laying up treasures and so forth. How does that relate? Well, I stopped before I hit the key verse. Verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That's what brings it back into context. He's dealing with the issues of the heart and how they manifest themselves. Now He's dealing with the issue of the heart in the priorities of life. What is the main thing? And for many people, the main thing is the things of this world. rather than the things that are found in heaven. What is the main thing that we need to keep? The main thing. I think Scripture tells us that there are two things that are found that go hand in hand. You can't really have one without the other. The first is to know God. That's coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior and placing your faith in what He did on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And once you know God, then the second thing would be to serve God. And in the order of things here in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6, that's it. He starts with the Beatitudes of those who genuinely know Christ as opposed to those who just made a profession. And then how that works out in their service. Is it just mere outward service without the heart, or is it the real thing? And now he's getting to this issue of priorities. And let me finish the text and you'll see what's going on here. He's talking about laying up treasures. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the word mammon there can be translated money. It can be used of anything that money will buy. It's the issues of life. You cannot serve God and have the serving of the issues of life here and now at the same time. Notice what he does not say here in the end of verse 24. He does not say you cannot serve God and have mammon. It's vital to note that. Some of God's choice servants in biblical times were wealthy people. Abraham was wealthy, and he's called a friend of God. Obviously, Solomon was wealthy. And he's lifted up as one of the great servants, one of the great kings of the Old Testament Davidic dynasty. It's not the possession of things that is a problem here. He also does not say you cannot have God and mammon. Now, some will say that in order to serve God, you have to take a vow of poverty. They don't. Nowhere in Scripture is that found, and it's not found here. You can be a Christian and you can be rich. You can be a Christian and you can be poor. You can be a Christian and somewhere in between. The possession is not the problem. It's how you put that as a priority. When life is all about the things of this life, you've forgotten what the main thing is. Now let's look at this passage in a little bit more detail. Come back with me to verse 19. As you read it here in the English language, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. You read a fairly decent interpretation of the Greek language. But if you read it in the original language, you're going to see a play on words that you can't see in English, or at least not in the King James Version. The word that is translated treasures is the Greek word thesaurus. Sound familiar? If you've got one of those little books in your library, Roget's Thesaurus, that's the Greek word thesaurus. Thesaurus literally means a collection of treasures. Roget's Thesaurus, and I can't say the English word, I can say the Greek word much easier, but it is a collection of the treasures of synonyms and antonyms that define what a word means. That's where the word comes from. What's interesting, though, about that is in the command that's here, both in verse 19 and in verse 20. It's in the negative in verse 19, don't lay up, and in the positive in verse 20, lay up. It's the Greek word thesaurizo. It's the noun made into a verb. Literally, this means in verse 19, don't treasure up treasures. And in verse 20, it is treasure the treasures. It's a matter of putting priority or value upon these things. Don't treasure up treasures upon the earth. Why is that? Well, two reasons that are here. Number one, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Everything that is of this world is subject to corruption. Mike was hitting the nail on the head in his Sunday school opening this morning. How many of you are happy with the state of your body and there wasn't a single person that put their hand up? Why? It's subject to corruption. Look at mine. Used to work well. See, the first time it went away. Things break down and they start hurting, and after a while they don't hurt anymore. They don't work anymore. That's how things are. And you know why we're repairing these pews? They're subject to corruption. And everything that we have in life breaks down. And oftentimes doesn't work. But not only that, the things that we have in life are subject to theft. We do our best to hold on to things, but there's no guarantee that they last. And even if we do hold on to them in life, when the end of life comes, the old saying becomes true, you can't take it with you. Back in the church in Marietta that I pastored before coming here, there was a man who was on the board of directors of one of the banks in the town. And he told me one time that he had gone to a conference of bank administrators in Columbus, Ohio. And of course, all these bank administrators were wealthy businessmen. And they all showed up in their Mercedes and their Cadillacs and all those types of car. He drove an Oldsmobile that was about a dozen years old. They all parked in the same place in this garage. And here you have all these Cadillacs and Mercedes and some. And there just happened to be somebody there that... Well, they said, here's a field day for us. And practically every single one of those cars was broken into looking for things to steal. His was not touched. Isn't it interesting? When we get good things, people want them. But as long as we don't have good things, people let them alone. And here's the idea of I'm desiring things, good things. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with having good things. But they're subject to being gone one day. Don't lay up, don't treasure treasures upon the earth. One of these days, they're either going to break down, they're not going to work, someone's going to steal them, or when we leave this life, they're gone. However, treasure treasures for yourselves in heaven. What treasures are there? For many years, I did not understand this. In fact, up until this past week, I did not understand this verse because I did not understand the verb, the laying up. I had the idea that if I did some good things here on earth, there was rewards for me in heaven, and when I got there, I'd receive these rewards. That's not what it's talking about at all. Treasure, put a priority on, put an infinite value to the things that are in heaven that are treasurable. Well, what are those things? This word, thesaurus, is used only in a handful of verses in the New Testament, but two are quite instructive. The first is found in Colossians chapter 2. For I would that you knew that what great conflict I have for you, and for them that are at Laodicea, and as for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul is saying, I want everyone to know the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge of who God is. Remember the first priority of life? That we might know God. That's what Paul says is a treasure. Then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read this. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this thesaurus in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What Paul is saying is, God has called us to serve Him, to go out into the world and proclaim Christ Jesus. But we can't do it in our own power. That power, that ability to minister is found in earthen vessels, that the excellency could be of Him. Well, let's see, what's the second thing? To know God and to serve God. Paul calls that a treasure. Scripture tells us that the things that are the main things are to know God and consequently to serve Him. Well, how do I do this? How do I treasure the treasures? How do I not treasure the things that are on the earth? Well, let's go back here to our passage in Matthew chapter 6. Where your heart is there, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's what we're interested in, not just the outward actions, but the value that you put on things. Well, how do I get my heart in the right place? Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now understand something, a little physiology here. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking about light being reflected and so forth. The only way that light enters your body is through the eye. Do you realize that? Close your eyes, and you see nothing. There's no light going into your body. It can't sneak in under your fingernails or through your nostrils or through your ears, although some people say that if you look in this ear, you can see things through on the other side. That really isn't true. The only way that light enters your body is through the eye. It only goes about maybe half an inch, and it hits the retina. And the retina changes that light into electrical impulses, which then travel to the brain. And consequently, as you're walking down the path of life and you see what is before you, light is entering, your brain is interpreting it, and it is telling the rest of your body how to respond to it. Here's a problem. Move to the side and you avoid things. The light that just entered my eye, in effect, told my feet what to do. What are you saying here? If therefore thine eye be single, what in the world is that? Well, notice verse 20 next, 23. But if thy eye be evil, it is set in contrast to something that is not necessarily morally evil, but something that doesn't work the way it's supposed to work, is the idea here. Thy whole body shall be full of darkness. The word single in verse 22 can be understood if you understand this word, double vision. There's a line in an old Rocky movie, Rocky IV.
Ivan Drago, who is the Russian superstar boxer, just beats up everybody, is beating the stuffing out of Rocky.
Well, that's the premise of all Rocky movies. He gets the stuffing beating out and then he wins at the end.
And between the rounds, he goes back into his corner and he says, "I see three of them out there." And his brother-in-law, Paulie, says, "Hit the one in the middle." Well, see, the problem is when there's more than one thing that you're seeing, you lose objectivity, you lose reality. You don't know what's right and what's wrong. He had triple vision. If the eye is single, if there's only one thing that you're looking upon, if the main thing is the main thing, your body will be full of light. And consequently, you will do the right things. You'll avoid the potholes and the problems that come up. You will see to do the things that are necessary to get you from point A to point B. But if thy eye be not working the way it is supposed to be working, you will have double vision or triple vision or whatever, how many visions of the things that you are looking at. And consequently, the things that you are looking at won't be light. You go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on." And basically what is going on here is you have the prince of this world going to an unsaved person, and you have the light of the gospel available to him, and Satan is saying, "No, don't pay any attention to that. Look at this. You can have a big car or a big house, or you can have prestige or fame or whatever it is," and you get caught up on all those other things. And the main thing then becomes nothing. Darkness. "If thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. And if there's no darkness, there's no knowing Christ." That's what this verse says. "And if there's no knowing Christ, there cannot be any serving Christ." No man can serve two masters. It doesn't work that way. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You've got to choose. That's all there is to it. You cannot serve two masters. It doesn't work. There is a disparity between the standards of God and the standards of this world. The priorities of God and the priorities of this world. They come into conflict. And you've got to choose. Is the main thing the main thing in your life? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know Him, you know God. And once you know God, you can serve Him. Now I want to finish this up tonight. But there's a familiar verse of Scripture that many of you, if not all of you, have heard, and it goes along with this context, but I can't get to it until tonight. It's verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things," these treasures that God wants you to have in this life, but more importantly, the treasures of heavenly things, shall be added unto you. It's very easy to get distracted by things, even good things, real good things, excellent things. We can get distracted. I think we need to be good stewards of the things that God gives us. But remember, he only gives us those things for a stewardship purpose. And there are times when God may say, I want them back. Our problem is we tend to call them our things once we receive them. This is my money. This is my house. This is my car. I struggle to make sure that I rarely say, and sometimes I fail, this is my church. Seems to me the Lord said in Matthew 16, I will build my church, not your church, Reiner. It's not ours. These are my kids. This is my wife. This is my job. No. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I am responsible as a steward, but they belong to Him. And when I start setting my affection on having those things the way that I want those things, the main thing is no longer the main thing, as good as they are. What is the main thing in your life? To know God and to serve Him is what He requires. Let's pray. Father, distractions come. We can't help that. There will always be that temptation to respond to, hey, look at this over here. Or, hey, have you ever considered this over there? And we get distracted, and then after a period of time, we become attracted to those things. And we forget to ask, how are those things related to the main thing of knowing You and serving You? And we go off the path that You have ordained for us to follow and accomplish Your will in it. And life becomes miserable, even with all the things of this life. Because with all the things we recognize that moth and rust are corrupting, there are those who will desire to have and take away from us, and even if we're able to hold on and maintain, there's a day coming when we will leave them all behind. But the things of heaven cannot be corrupted by moth and rust, cannot be taken from us. For they are eternal things. And in doing them, there really is great reward. Father, may our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and consequently the totality of our being, be focused upon the goal. And may we say like the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Speak to each and everyone's heart here this morning with these words for Your purposes, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.